there is a free forever version of Music where you get all the features, basically all of them, except and the only limitation is that you can only have 15 scores in your library at any given time. If that's fine with you, you can use it. You can use Music for free forever on all your devices.
Hello again, teachers, and welcome back to another episode of the Topcast. You're listening to episode number 252, and we've got a great show today with a special guest from France, actually. Mr. Paul Leverger is joining us from the brilliant app Music, N-E-W-Z-I-K. Now, you may have heard that they've been sponsoring our podcast and supporting our episodes over the last few weeks, and so it's great to have Paul on the show to actually explain more in depth about the software that they've created, the app, and what it can do for you as a music teacher. And I think you're going to really enjoy this one because whether you're a performer or a teacher or a bit of both, there's some elements of this app that will really blow your mind, actually, particularly their new Maestria program, their artificial intelligence software. We'll tell you what it does and why that might be helpful for you a little bit later in the show. But first up, I did want to let you know as well that we are offering a free one-month trial for all listeners of the show. Normally, Music only offers a week or two trial, but Paul has generously offered that you can grab a free one-month trial of Music, fully featured. Grab it, use it as much as you want, upload your music, test it out, see what you think, and you'll be able to find out more about how to access that free trial later in the show. A trained drummer and electronic musician, my guest today, Paul, is passionate about music technology. Before taking over as Chief Marketing Officer of Music, he spent 3 years traveling the world to train prestigious orchestras and opera houses on using that software and playing with digital scores. A true music expert, he now dedicates his time to help music teachers innovate in their teaching and save time by using digital score technology, which is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome to the show, Paul Leverger. I hope I said your name correctly.
Yeah, perfect.
My French accent, my schoolboy French has got very, very rusty. Tell us, just before we jump into talking about Music, whereabouts are you based? Obviously, a French connection or maybe a Canadian French connection. Tell us about it.
So I'm based in Paris, like the rest of the Music team, so in France. And so beautiful city, although it's raining a bit right now.
It's meant to be summertime, isn't it?
It's supposed to be, but we're still looking for it.
So the whole Music team is based in Paris?
We have a couple colleagues who are based outside of Paris, so in the south of France, as well as in Israel.
Yeah.
And we often collaborate with people from all around the world who help us design new features for the app.
Yeah, look, it's the way to go now. My team's all around the world, and it's just a great way to connect with people because, I mean, we're in such a small niche, really. Music teaching for me is an even smaller niche than you for musicians. But to find the best talent, to be able to go anywhere in the world, I think is really helpful for all of us. So, all right, let's jump in. You look after all the marketing for Music. So we're talking about Music, the app, N-E-W-Z-I-K. If you haven't checked it out yet, hopefully after this interview, you will definitely go and explore it. I've had a huge amount of fun mucking around with its features. And I think, and I shouldn't be flippant by saying mucking around, this is a serious piece of software too, but it is fun and it's engaging and certainly useful. So why don't you give us the overview? What does this app do and why would teachers be interested in it?
Absolutely. Music is an app that was first developed for professional musicians. So as you said, it's supposed to be a serious software. Although it now expanded to music teachers as well and music students and generally people. Anyone who reads sheet music can be interested in the Music app. It's an app that lets you organize a digital library of scores that is cloud-based and collaborative from the get-go, which means that anything that you do in the Music app can be shared in real time with other users. So that can be your band or your orchestra, that can be your classroom full of students, that can be a composer with other musicians will interpret their music. So any musical context that relies on collaboration between different people is what the Music App primarily addresses. So, but as we said earlier, it was originally designed for professional musicians, so in order to be used on stage. So it's rock solid. The performances are heavily tested by hundreds of people before any version drops on the App Store. So you can take it on stage, no problem, but you can also use it at home to rehearse or practice new music.
So the thing I'm instantly thinking of when you're talking about cloud-based and collaborative, I'm thinking of Google Docs and Google Sheets, where you can be typing something and it will literally come up on the other person's screen. So are we talking that level of collaboration and cloud-based connectivity, or is there is it only kind of when you save it and then you reopen it, or is it literally real time?
Oh, so it's pretty similar to Google Docs. It's not exactly the same thing because it doesn't appear right away on the screen, although you have a button and you know that new stuff has come up. And the reason why we don't show it on the screen right away is because that if that happened on stage or during a rehearsal while you are practicing, it could be disturbing a little bit. But it could totally be possible. So what happens is you have a little tiny kind of notification button at the top of the left corner of your screen. And if you click on it, you see the new modifications, the new annotations from, I don't know, the conductor or the first violin or...
Yeah, that makes sense. So can you tell us a bit about the difference between a digital score and just a PDF score that you're viewing on your iPad? Because I store a lot of my sheets on Dropbox, and so I could use just about any viewer, even the Dropbox app, to view the score, and that's just a PDF score. So I think Music will allow you to do that, but also you work with digital scores. So can you tell us the difference?
Sure. So I would say that PDF sheet music is digital score in a way, but it's the most basic version of digital score. You could theoretically use any PDF reader to display your music, although you wouldn't have all the optimized performances of music in terms of pitch turnings. It could take some time to load the next page. You wouldn't have all the smart ways to turn pages to help you anticipate the music that comes later on. So it would work, but not the same. But when you go further, you have other advantages of using actual digital sheet music. The way we see it, what really makes digital sheet music digital is when you enhance your sheet music with other types of media files. So you can add a backing track, you can add a video that you take, either record from your iPad or that you take directly from YouTube, and that can give you an easy way to give your students, for example, a demonstration of how a certain exercise can be played. And then you can take things one step further by using other formats, digital score formats such as Music XML. And in this case, with just the click of a button, you can transpose your score, you can change the tempo, the speed, you can listen to it, change the instrument, remove a track to create a backing track. You can do, you get full control over the display of your music and how you present this information to other people.
So for teachers who have libraries of PDF, like the most basic scores, which is it's basically a scanned version of a book or a digital score that they've downloaded, that doesn't automatically suddenly have a backing track and all these options to slow down and speed thing playback in if you bring it into Music, right? It has that's for a particular type of file, is that right?
It used to be right, but it's not anymore. Now what the Music app will let you do.
So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so this is a new technology that we just released a couple of weeks ago that we called Maestria. It's an optical music recognition technology based on artificial intelligence. And what it does is it recreates the semantic of the music. It basically understands any sheet music that you present to this technology, and it will convert it to a kind of a purely digital version. So it has the knowledge of all the musical semantics, so it's able to play it, it's able to manipulate it in many different smart ways, and it works with any sheet music that you already have in either PDF or paper. So you can just take your phone, take advantage of the wonderful camera that you have on your iPhone these days to capture a detailed scan of your PDF just by just like take a picture of your music, and you press play and you listen to it.
No way. And then you can slow it down. You could speed it up.
Yeah.
You could, what are some of the other things that you could, that someone might want to do with it? What's the advantage of doing that?
So you have all the audio aspect first, because you get a MIDI version of your sheet music. So you can play it, you can speed it up, slow it down, transpose it. You can change an instrument or remove a track. You can make your own balance, and then you can bounce everything, and you get like sort of the mini DAW, if you will, within music. It's not intended as to be a DAW in itself, but it's just an easy way for you to get a better sense of what the music is about. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that it will convert your music to a music XML file. So music XML is an exchange format between different notation software originally. And what this means is that you can take a picture of your paper sheet music, use music as a converter, and then you can open this into Sibelius or Finale or any other notation software. So that helps you recreate an arrangement very easily from any paper music that you have. It could be very helpful to correct a difficult page turn, to modify it, for instance, or if you wanted to transpose your music to a different key, you could do that very easily just by taking this output in Music XML, opening it in any notation software, MuseScore, let's say, transposing it and re-importing it back to music.
Very cool. So I'm picturing, because I'm quite piano-centric, being a pianist, I'm often thinking just right and left hand, but let's say we've got I'm accompanying a flute or something like that, and we've got a score with two piano treble and bass, and then a flute line. So what you're saying is you could scan that in and convert it to a music XML file, this exchange format, and you could then either transpose it to a new key, or you could cut out or like mute the flute part and then have the piano part play. So you could create, for your flautist that you're accompanying, you could create an accompaniment?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's cool.
So it would work with any score from, like, as you said, just a piano track accompanying a flute, or it works as well with a complete orchestral arrangement, if you want to go there. So this is very helpful for students who may not be able to reach it, me to sight read right away, in order to you know get more comfortable with new music and learn new music faster, because you can approach it not only with the sheet music itself, but also the way it sounds. You get a better sense of what the music is about.
Mm.
And if you the sound banks that you have in music are kind of basic sound banks at the moment, but if you want to go there, you can use this with like nicer sound banks, professional sound banks in Logic Pro or Pro Tools or anything, and you can get a complete
orchestral sound.
Yeah, a complete orchestral.
Yeah, I'm trying to. You've just kind of opened up more uses. I'm thinking, as a previous band director as well, I could, you know, load up a score and then output the woodwind section, mm-hmm. and give it to all the kids in the woodwind section to say, here's how your part should sound, or not the woodwind and not the rest of the orchestra, and here, play along to this because we're back in a lockdown and you can't come into rehearsal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's heaps of opportunity here. It's cool.
Yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned the lockdown, because, yeah, most countries in the world have been in lockdown the past year, and they suddenly were faced with this need to be able to connect online and play music together, and we know that it doesn't really work when you're on Zoom or other video conferencing software, because there's this delay. And our answer to this at Music was that it's basically impossible. You will always have this delay. There's no way you can play online as if you were in the same room. Mm. But if you have ways to exchange files with other people, kind of not a peer-to-peer system, but really be able to have an immediate input to the other person on the other side of the planet. So say, you're my band director, you can write on my sheet music and I see it right away. And then I have this accompaniment that tells me how it should sound. And then I can use the audio recorder in music. And so I record my part just to show you how it sounds. And you're on the other side of the planet and you get it in real time as well. So it's not playing together, but it's a nice way to collaborate very easily and very in a very quick manner with other people, even though we're not together.
Mm. Yeah, I know a lot of teachers over the course of the last year have struggled with the challenge of uploading videos, syncing tracks, creating online recitals with accompanied students, all that kind of stuff. Like it is tedious. So anything that we can do to simplify that, I think, is really valuable. I was also thinking, and I'm sure you won't mind me mentioning, Fourscore is obviously one of your competitors, and that's an app I've used in the past. And I've been thinking through all the differences, and clearly, you've taken a leap. Actually, you've kind of moved sideways really from them, because they very much are a library with annotation. But you, with the audio recording feature, Maestria, this virtual recognition of uploading scores, the collaboration, real-time collaboration, I mean, it's really setting apart from that. Is there anything else that you feel is worthy of note that kind of separates you from anyone else doing this?
I would say another difference between Fourscore and us. Fourscore is a great product. First, I really like this product as well and use it as well. But it's very different from music. I would say the other difference is the intuitivity of the interface, because Fourscore is such an intricate software with tons of different features. So it can get a bit overwhelming if you're not used to using this kind of technology at first. Whereas in music, we have less features, but we make sure that they are very intuitive and powerful, and that really they really serve your the intended musical purpose. Because first and foremost, we're musicians. We're app developers, yes, but we are musicians ourselves. The music team has some sort of relation with music. Either we played in an orchestra, or for me I was a drummer in a rock band.
I was going to say you look like a rocker of some sort. I thought either guitar, bass, or drums would be your instrument.
Yeah. So it's I would say the intuitivity of the interface for us is very important, because we know that we work with people who may not be that familiar with using music technology in general. We work mostly in the classical world, so with people who have worked with paper sheet music for maybe 30
forever.
40
yeah.
sometimes forever, and we need to respect that. It's not about replacing paper, it's about giving you a nice compliment that helps you take things further when you're rehearsing, and also once you're ready when you go on stage. But you can also get all the benefits of music just in rehearsals, just get this intelligent layer, I would say, for rehearsing more easily and more efficiently. And if you're not ready to, if this is a stress, you can then print out your sheet music. You would be much more ready when you hit the stage if you've rehearsed with music than if you've rehearsed with paper, basically. Coming back to your question about Fourscore, I would really, really say it's about collaboration.
Mm.
If you just need a way to organize your own sheet music and work with yourself, and maybe you're a soloist and you never play with other people, although that would be very rare, then maybe Fourscore is the way to go. But if you need a collaborative environment, you need to share information, scores, annotations, anything with other musicians. If you need a multi-platform environment, so let's say you want to organize your library on your computer, then display it on your iPad, or maybe you're on the subway, you want to create your set list on your iPhone for the concert the next day, and have all of this synced in real time between all your different devices, then probably music is the way to go.
That's a big advantage, because for me, one of the disadvantages of Fourscore is it has a clunky way of loading in scores, or maybe it's just the way I'm doing it. I do it through Dropbox, and it's kind of multi-step and not intuitive process. If I don't want to scan in a score and I just have a PDF, I just want to use Musiq to view it, is it easy to get it on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So you have tons of ways to get your Musiq onto the app. So first, you have all the ways that you will have in Fourscore. So you can connect directly to your Dropbox or Google Drive or any other solution that you use, and just browse the content of your Dropbox and select the PDFs you want. And in just a few clicks, it will be imported into the Musiq app. That's on your iPad or iPhone. It's still a bit clunky, to be honest, as well, because you're using a touchscreen to do this. And we know that browsing through hundreds of different files, selecting them manually with your fingers is not the most practical way to do it. So you also have, with Musiq, you not only get the app, but you also have Musiq Web, which is a web platform that can be accessed from any device that can go onto the internet. So that's your laptop, your desktop, your also your Android tablet or Android phone. We don't have an Android version for the Musiq app, but you can use Musiq Web on any device that you want. So with Musiq Web, you can just use your computer and your mouse, and you can import in bulk, like take the entire content of your Dropbox and just drag and drop it to your library, and that's it. It's in Musiq.
Good. And then
and then you also have a scanner, as we discussed earlier, and you have like tons of other different ways to import.
Yeah, that's a huge benefit, having the web app, so that you can load stuff up on your computer. I mean, I'm a cyclist, and I use a software called Zwift.
Yeah.
Z-W-I-F-T. I don't know. Are you a cyclist as well?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are. There you go. So I any other Zwifters out there? Yeah, you can follow me if you want. And get very disappointed because I'm not as good as I think I am. But one of the things I do is load in custom workouts. But to get them onto the app, which you use in front of the actual bike, is an absolute pain unless you do it through their web. They've got a web app, a desktop app for laptops. Mm. So again, just the simplicity, if you have a laptop or a desktop, you can quickly load things up and then they show on the app. And that's exactly what you're saying you can do with
Musiq. Absolutely.
Just drag and drop and then go on stage or go teach in your studio, open your iPad and it's all there and it's alphabetical ordered or whatever order you want, I imagine.
Yeah.
Really good, yeah.
That's exactly it. And we realize that for most people, it's just more practical to have a web app. First, because an iPad, and even more so the iPad Pro, the biggest ones, are expensive devices. And unless you're a professional musician and you reach it Musiq 8 hours a day and that's your job, you may not be able to invest in such an expensive device. Whereas almost everyone today has access to a computer or a laptop at home. And for most people, this is what playing Musiq is about. Most people don't really perform concerts out there, or maybe once or twice a year with the band, or it's a school project at the end of the year. In this case, there's no way you will buy an iPad, and you shouldn't really. But with a web app, it makes the technology a lot more accessible to everybody, and it helps us extend our community, basically.
And if I'm a beginner musician or beginner teacher, I don't have all that many scores. Is there a library in there that you can access or buy, or can you search IMSLP, or how does that work?
Yeah. So Musiq is not a content provider. So you shouldn't expect to get like browser library such as IMSLP or other software like this and just get any Musiq that you want. This is not what Musiq is about. But Musiq has tons of partnerships with all the major Musiq publishers. So you can browse their website and you can buy digital sheet Musiq from them directly, and you receive it directly in your Musiq account. So that's the first way you could get sheet Musiq. Quality sheet Musiq onto Musiq. Then, if you want, you can totally go and browse IMSLP, and you can download any Musiq from there in PDF. So as soon as you have the PDF, you can import it into Musiq and benefit from all the features of the software, basically.
Love it. So tell us about how much it costs, and is there a free level that you can, our teachers listening can go and test it out?
Absolutely. I should have mentioned that a lot earlier, maybe when we talked about Foursquare. That's probably the biggest difference. There is a free forever version of Music where you get all the features, basically all of them, except, and the only limitation is that you can only have 15 scores in your library at any given time. If that's fine with you, you can use it. You can use Music for free forever on all your devices. After that, there's the Music Pro subscription for most people. It depends on where you live in the world, but it's roughly $30 a year. And then we have another two other different offers, one for orchestras called Music Ensemble and another one for music schools called Music Education. These are group offers, so it's only from a certain number of licenses. So if your audience is interested in it, they can go on to our website and they can find all the information to related to these different offers. But for most people, it would be the Music Pro subscription at $30 a year.
Pretty inexpensive, really, for what you get. Do you get the Maestria, the optical recognition with the free plan?
And not at the moment, although this is planned. Okay. You will get it in a few, just like weeks or months. So very soon, yes. And otherwise, there's always the free trial, so you can just start.
Try. You've got a free trial. Absolutely. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, because I know a lot of people listening. Well, I have a feeling. I mean, I'm like, wow. I mean, it just sounds really, really cool. And particularly for those teachers. I mean, you mentioned DAWs before, digital audio workstations. Just coming background to that, if people don't know what that is, that's the online recording sort of software that you can get to mix tracks together. And for people creating film scores or doing any orchestration or backing track work, then they'll be able to hear this and go, wow, that, you know, there's some huge benefits, time-saving benefits for importing note data, which they might have already done or might have otherwise done in Finale or Sibelius. This could save a huge amount of time for $30 a year. I mean, wow. Cost-benefit analysis easily solved on that one. So you better tell us what the website is.
Oh yeah, so the our website is music.com, so newzik.com. And yeah, so you get all the information there. You can download the app, you can access Music Web. You get more information about Maestria, as well as our different offers. And you can obviously contact us anytime if you have any question. That's also something that we really pay attention to answer the question from our audience, because this is basically how we develop our products. We are musicians in a sense, but we're not professional musicians by any means. We work with professional musicians who tell us what they need, what feature they are missing in the product, and what they would like us to create. And we basically do this for them.
Yeah. So there's a really strong feedback loop. You create, you listen to what's happening. Performers and teachers can come back to you. Yeah, that's great. I've certainly found great responsiveness to your emails and the support and that kind of thing. So highly recommend teachers go check it out. Thank you as well. You've been a sponsor of the podcast this month. We really appreciate that and look forward to hearing how the teachers go exploring it in the next little while and look forward to hearing comments either on our show notes page or over on social media. Now, Paul, is there anything we forgot to discuss given that you know the software so well?
Sure. We didn't discuss the extended free trial that we're offering to your audience.
Hey, so. love a good extra offer. Tell us what's happening.
So normally we would have a 7-day free trial for everyone on the Music Pro so they can try Maestria. But we will offer a 30-day free trial for your audience, so extend that.
Oh, fantastic.
So they will, I guess, well, maybe we can leave it in the podcast notes.
Yep.
There will be a URL, probably music.com/
top music or something.
Top music. Let's say top music. And people can just go there and start a 30-day extended free trial of Music Pro. So they will have all the time that they need to experiment with all the features and especially this artificial intelligence.
That's awesome, Paul. Thank you very much. Thank you on behalf of my audience. I know a lot of people go and try that out. and make sure you go and check it out. So the show notes are over at topmusic.co/episode253. That's where we'll put the link. It's hopefully going to be music.com/topmusic. If not, if that doesn't work, then go and check our show notes. We'll share it on social media anyway and make sure we tell as many people about it as we can. And as this is an evergreen episode, is that something that's time limited, Paul, or are you going to keep that open for the time being?
No, we'll keep it open.
Fantastic. That was really generous. Really appreciate it. And thanks for your time today. It's been great to connect with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's always a pleasure to discuss with people, especially on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, I know. Just getting dark here and just getting light for you. I know, it's funny, isn't it? No, I really, really appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for supporting us as well. And we look forward to hearing what teachers think of the brand new music and all the features. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Tim. Have a nice day.
Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting Paul Lefacheaux from Music, and I do hope you go over and grab a free trial. If you'd like the link, head over to our show notes, topmusic.co/episode252, and you'll be able to find out all the details there of how to get your trial, get started, try it out, test it with your students, test it yourself in your performance, use your AirTurn or whatever Bluetooth page-turning pedal you have, annotate your scores, try and collaborate with them. Upload one using their Maestria software, whatever it is, give it a shot, try it out, and I would love to know what you think of it too. Share your thoughts over on any of our social media channels or on our show notes page. That was episode 252. Next week on the podcast, I'm interviewing a fellow Australian teacher. His name is Jamie Gibson. He's actually a multi-instrumental teacher, piano and clarinet and sax and a number of different instruments, and his music school is now fully online. We're going to hear about the story of how he's created that and how as well he uses technology and backing tracks with exams. That's pretty cool too, exam boards in particular. He's another user of a variety of different apps in his teaching. And we're also going to share some ideas and supporting comments and stories particularly for new teachers just coming out of university wanting to start their studios. And Jamie gets lots of questions from them as a member of his Music Teachers Association committee and has some great ideas there. So we'll be talking all about that. So whether you're a new teacher or a seasoned teacher, one using technology or not, you're going to get lots out of next week's episode with Jamie Gibson. I can't wait to speak to you then. I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to the Topcast from topmusic.co. I'll speak to you soon. For more information about this episode and to find out how to enhance your own teaching, visit topmusic.co. You'll find everything you need for your studio, from lesson plans to cheat sheets, quick win teaching ideas, and guides on how to build your teaching business. Plus, you'll be connected to a global community of the world's top music teachers. And when you're ready, join hundreds of other teachers around the world by becoming a Top Music Pro member and get access to all our bonus content and flagship courses. And don't forget to follow topmusic.co on social media and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. That's all for today. We'll see you in the studio.